Good morning.
Morning
and welcome in. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here and to all the mothers on the other side of that screen. We welcome you into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren today for the sermon titled A Vision Every Day. Our scripture lesson today comes from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And while you're looking that up, a mother, her heart was a little broken, had a son who had maybe slipped off the path and found himself doing time in jail, sat down to write him a letter. And she wrote to him about how beautiful things were and how wonderful things were going, and the neighbors were taking care of her until he had served his time. She said, "But son, the thing I miss the most is our time spent together working in the garden. I'm too feeble to plow it. I'm too feeble to get the earth turned so I can start planting. That was always your job. And now this year I'm afraid we'll have no garden. I'll try, but I fail that I'll fail." And the son received the letter and wrote these words back: "Mom, I love you. I miss you. Stay out of the backyard. Stay out of the area where the garden was, because that's where I hid the money that I stole." A week and a half later, she received a letter back. She said, "Son, after that last letter, state and county and government agents showed up and turned every piece of dirt in the backyard. I'm now able to plant the garden. Thank you." A vision. I'll try that sometime. No, I'm not. No. A vision every day. John chapter 19. Verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. May God add his blessings to that scripture as we seek him out in prayer and this message. Would you please pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for a single day, but something done every day. Thank you for the scripture that we will look into. Thank you for the message that we have received. Thank you for the creation of woman, of mother. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, amen. Amen. I don't know who wrote it, but an unknown author once said, "As a boy, I thought of heaven as a city with domes and spires and beautiful streets inhabited by angels. I thought of the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and pearl and crystal. But then my little brother died, and I thought of heaven much as before, but with one person there I knew. Then another passed. And then some of my acquaintances. And so in time I began to think of heaven as containing several people that I knew. But it was not until my own mother passed away I began to think that I had a treasure waiting in heaven for myself. Afterward, went another and another. And by time I stopped thinking of heaven as merely a city with streets of gold and glass and jewels. Now I think that there are many loved ones there. And sometimes I think how lucky I'll be to see my mother in that vision of heaven when I arrive." To me, I have my own vision of heaven. I do think about it quite a bit. And I'm not kidding. I love to dwell on it, because it fascinates me to no end. If you go back and you read through Revelation, oh, don't get scared. You can go and read it. Ain't nothing going to happen. If you go back and read through it, it details what that city's going to be. It's going to be more beautiful than you could ever imagine. It reminds me of the old joke, and I guess maybe it's not so funny, that a very rich man passed away, and he was buried with all his money turned into worth. And he put everything in a suitcase. Had it turned into gold, because he didn't want to be without it. And when he died, he got to the heaven's gates up there, and St. Peter said, "You can't bring that in with you." He said, "But this is everything I had on earth." He said, "There's no need for that. But look what I've brought." And he opened it up, and St. Peter said, "Come on in." And another angel, not knowing what going on, saw all this and said, "What in the world did you do that for?" And St. Peter looked at him and said, "That's all right. He's just bringing in pieces for the road." I have this vision of that. And I think about that. And I think about what it's going to be like. And I make some comments about it quite often, but I'm serious. I'm writing down a list that I know I don't get to carry. I'm hoping that I can remember it when I get there. I'm writing down a list of everyone I want to see. And the way I figure it is, if you read the Bible like I do, and you believe it like I do, which you should, and you're into it, you understand that once we get there, we're there for all eternity. Do you know how long eternity is? Well, it just so happens that when I got made a preacher, they gave me a handbook with answers to questions like that, and I can answer that question for you. Do you know how long eternity is? Ready? Forever. But you didn't know that, did you? My father once said, and I may have used this already, that 1 second in heaven can be imagined like this. Imagine a stone 1,000 miles high, 1,000 miles wide, and 1,000 miles long. And every 1,000 years, a little old tiny sparrow stops to sharpen its beak on that rock. That won't even be what a second in heaven is like. I figure I'm glad heaven is for all eternity, because I'm going to need the first 1,000,000 years up there to see everybody I want to see. And I love dwelling and thinking about heaven. And I often think about what that vision truly is. And that vision comes in the form of a mother. A mother is a vision of heaven every single day. And I'm not talking about just your biological mother. Let's get that clear. I am someone who has taken an awful lot to get shaped into the person that I am today, and still beyond it. I have a multitude of motherly influences. And for some reason, most of my motherly influences always tend to look at me quite often like this. And I know what that means, and I often have that response. What? But a vision of heaven every day, a vision every day, is the creation of woman and the creation of mother. A little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. We've all seen that happen. And his mother was in the front row right there to help him along. We've all seen that happen too, right? I wish we had a bunch of little kids again, because there is nothing greater than the world than seeing all the moms up there going, helping them along. She gestured and formed the words silently with her lips, but it did not help. Her son's memory went blank, and finally she leaned forward, whispering the cue, "I am the light of the world." And the little child's face lit up, and he beamed, and with a clear, loud voice said, "My mother is the light of the world." He was right. A mother is a vision of heaven every day. I love it. I love seeing mothers in motion. I love seeing a woman out there doing what she was created to do. And I know that probably ain't the right thing to say in this day and age, but tough. You can write to me at P.O. Box, I don't care. I believe in motherhood. I believe in what they have. I believe in what God created for it. And I believe that a mother's love extends not just to her children, but to all those that she comes in contact with. A godly mother is a treasure that cannot be measured. A mother that takes it on herself to love someone, regardless of how they are connected. That is an incredible thing. That is connected. And a mother is just that important. She is to be respected. There are many, many, many people in this world who grew up without their biological mother for whatever reason. And yet somewhere in their life, they had that influence. They had that guiding light. Now, just how important is a mother? She teaches you how to tie your shoes, because when I tried to teach my kids how to tie my shoes, I got told I was doing it wrong. And I had to look down, make sure mine were still tied. And I said, but I know how to tie my shoes. And I got told, but sometimes you don't do it right. Okay, so we all learned how to tie our shoes together, me and two little boys. The mother teaches them how to eat. You ever seen a father try to teach a kid how to eat? And the kid won't eat it? Well, whatever, go hungry. If it was for fathers, there'd be a lot of skinny kids in this world. But mom sits there with patience. Now, here, try it. Here, go ahead. You can do this. And gives them food and loves on them. I love watching that. And then they grow into a little bit of maturity. And they come downstairs with their shoes on the wrong feet. And mom takes the patience and time to put them on right. And then they grow a little bit more. And they come home. And they come up to mom and they say, Mom, look what I made you in school today. Mom, look at what I'm doing. They might say it to dad, but they often say it to mom first. And then they mature a little bit more. And they come home and their face is sad. What's wrong, son? Well, I like this little girl, but she didn't like me, and I thought we was going to be something together because we shared my sandwich every day this week at lunch. And next week, and this past week, she was sharing the sandwich with Johnny. And the mother hugs and loves them. And then they grow into a little bit more maturity. And the mom sits there and watches them as they step forward through life. Mom sits there on that front row when they finally get out of school. And then mom has to let go at some point. And do you know why mothers can let go? Because she knows that when her child is going out into the world, there are other mothers there to help support that. That is how important a mother is. How important? I'll tell you how important. Near the cross. Now let's roll that back just a couple of verses maybe and think about what's going on. Right now, in the middle of all that gore and slop and that hatred and that awful, awful day, she has watched as her son, whom she raised through everything, is being beaten to a bloody pulp, nailed to a cross to die for us. This is what she's witnessed. I watch this movie every now and then. I don't think I've seen it for a little bit, but I do like to watch it in that movie, The Passion of the Christ. And I watch it for two scenes and two scenes only. And one scene is when Jesus is in the carpenter shop as a man and makes a table with a chair and says, this is how people will sit. And his mother laughs with him and hugs on him and loves on him and sits in the chair and giggles. And then later on, we see that scene, and the Bible records it. The Bible stops right here in the chapter 19 in the book of John. Everything comes to a grinding halt as he is hanging there. He looks down and sees he's got a little bit of work yet to do. He's got to take care of Mama. And so he does. And he turns to John. That's who he's talking to. And he says, "Here's your son." And he turns to John and he says, "Here's your mother. You take care of her." And the Bible records from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Mama, mother, mom, ma. In the middle of all that, it is so important that that vision of love, that vision of determination, that vision of heaven is protected by Jesus Christ as he is dying. Compassion is an old word. It's been part of our language since the 14th century. It comes ultimately from Latin, cum and potai. Well, I'm going to have to go back to take my Latin, ain't I? Wait till I get to the German part of this sermon. Meaning to bear and suffer. Compassion, meaning to bear and suffer. Brooks Ramsey said in a writing, "Motherhood and Compassion." He said, "A few days ago, I made a marvelous discovery in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament. The word for compassion comes from the root word womb. The picture is of a birthing, something new being born. If I apply this in human experience, it means that my compassionate acts always give the other person another chance. I do not hold past failures against them. I offer a fresh start. I want this for myself, from others. Am I willing to give it to such a person? Because of motherhood and the most compassionate act, we can dramatically change the way we act and relate to one another." You know the old saying, "Would your mother be happy if she saw you doing that?" Well, no, not very often. Motherhood is everything wrapped up into this neat little ball in today's world. But the truth of the matter is, the mother, the woman, the guide that is a part of our life shapes it, no matter where she comes to you, at what point in your life, from your mother to the mother that looks after you when you are needed in that season. I debated about doing this, and finally I debated enough that I'm going to do this because I want to. There is an Andy Griffith episode called Opie's Charity, and all of that focuses on Opie and his charity. And I'm telling you, if you go back and look, everybody forgets the Mother's Day lesson. Now, we all know the story. They're going to have a little fun to buy food for kids, for underprivileged kids. And we all know how it shapes out. Opie doesn't want to give 3 cents is what he puts in there. He puts in the plate 3 cents, three little pennies. And Andy loses his mind over that. And the whole time, the underlying story is about a fella who was a drunkard who wandered off from his wife because she was nagging after him all the time. And he went and dried up, and she was so proud, she couldn't tell everybody that he ran away. She had him killed and buried. And he returns. And he shows up. So you have two stories running. You have Opie, who won't give no money, and Annabelle, who's too proud. And Andy becomes mad because his son of the town sheriff, won't give no money. Knows how much money he has in his piggy bank. And Opie keeps telling him over and over and over and over again, "I'm saving for my girlfriend Charlotte. I'm saving for my girlfriend Charlotte." And it finally comes to a head at the supper table. After Annabelle is going to find out that Thomas Silby is still alive, Andy's laughing about it at the supper table. And Opie comes in and they have that talk. And he says, "If you can't give nothing, just march right on up them steps. Just go right on up to bed." And Opie looks at him and says, "Okay, Paul." And up the steps he goes, and Andy's feeling pretty good about himself until motherhood kicks in from the side. I wrote it down so I could do it. Annabelle. Huh? Annabelle. Annabelle Silby, she was always afraid of what folks might think. And here you are carrying on the same way. Annabelle Sylvie didn't have any faith in her, Tom, and it appears you don't have any faith in your little boy. Oh, and you know what a good little fella he is. Just because he doesn't give enough to a collection, you're ready to just step back and forgive all that? Just because you're afraid of what folks might think? You didn't learn much from the Sylvies, did you? Well, I thought I was just trying to. Didn't you hear what I was trying to? You know something, Aunt B? Not yet, I don't. You're as right as rain. I just hadn't thought of it that way. It's true. I know my own little boy, and he's a fine little fella. And if he decides to hold back once in a moon, well, ain't no harm done. Good. Now call him down for supper. Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess I better do that. You're going to have to call a little louder than that. Yeah, oh, okay. Opie, come on down now. He comes bounding down the steps. We'll just forget what we was talking about and have our supper. And you all know what comes next. He bounces down in front of him and goes, "You like me again, Pa?" "Well, son, I never stopped liking you. You know that, and we're just going to forget about raising your donation at school and breaking into your piggy bank." "I'd like to, Pa, but I said, it's all right, it's all right. You're saving to buy your little girlfriend something. Charlotte, you want to get her a toy, it's all right." "No, Pa. Or if you want to take her to the movies and buy her $2 worth of popcorn, that's all right. I'm going to buy her a coat. After all, it's your savings, and whatever you're going to buy her what? A coat. The one she's got kind of wore out." It is? Mm-hmm. "When I asked her mom how come she didn't get a new one, she said because her ma didn't have enough money. And you were saving to buy her a coat? And the whole time, there stands Aunt B like this. For next winter. Mm-hmm. By then I'll have enough." "Well, Opie, you never told me that's what the money was for. You never asked me." No, I guess I didn't, did I?" And she commences to sitting down the plates. And Opie leans back and says, "Pa, what are we having for supper?" And as she stands behind him smiling, he says, "Well, you and Aunt B's having fried chicken. And I'm having crow." There ain't no vision greater of heaven than to marry that vision to the mother in your life. And that's what we celebrate today. And we should every day. And if there ain't no greater vision of heaven than a mother, well, frankly, I don't know what is. But I think we may have a definition of it.
There's one special member of the human race which the wisdom of man and science can never replace. God created her special like no other and molded much of himself on the one we call mother. A mother's heart must be quite large and lined with pure gold, for great store of love and patience is required to hold. Broad and wide is a mother's mind, with vast knowledge tucked inside, for great is the decisions she must make for her little ones to guide. A mother's back must be straight and strong to carry the work and the burden she knows will be coming along. Always ready to lend to a friend lowly need or take a defiant stand against an unjust deed. The hands of a mother must, the hand of a mother can never shrink. The everyday miracles they must work, be soft and kind, love to convey, and strong and firm to lead the way. A mother's eye are beyond compare. They can pierce a soul to see a hurt lurking there. or see the beauty in face that's plain, and hope in the future when all is in vain. A mother's faith knows no bounds, no doubts and darkness can hide. She knows behind the dark of night the morning sun abides. No words can describe a mother's love. We're too small to understand. It's a gift from God above us, mortal man. We know that love will never die, but grow throughout the years, sometimes bringing laughter, sometimes bringing tears. Search through God's creation, through all the things sweet and good. You'll find no other blessing like one called motherhood.
I say this quite often, that the last hymn that we sing, for some reason, well, I know the reason, always ties into the sermon. But that was until this morning. A vision every day. Onward. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We will tread the streets of gold. The opening song this morning, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all get to heaven, we'll see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Family, that vision of heaven every day rests in mom, ma, mother, mommy, mama, mom-in-law, mom because, mom takes care of me, the mom that watches over me, the woman that took the time beyond everything else to shepherd our life to you always. May you be blessed and lifted this Mother's Day. You are truly a vision every day of heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for being reminded, Father, that in the midst of all the turmoil and all the trial that you faced, you sent your mother on with great respect and dignity because you knew what she was. She was a vision of things to come. She was a vision of heaven. Just like the women that shepherd us along, Father. A vision every day is that of the one that we call mother, the one that has looked over us like a mother, the one that has been a mother, is a mother, will always be. Father, thank you for that beauty and glory that you created within that form. Bless them richly on this day. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.